1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. The United Nations has condemned violent attacks by Hamas that have resulted in hundreds of deaths, rapes, and kidnappings. But officials say they are deeply distressed now over Israel's vow to lay siege of the Gaza Strip. Secretary General Antonio Guterres.
I recognize the legitimate grievances of the Palestinian people. But nothing can justify these acts of terror and the killing, maiming, and abduction of civilians.
Here at home, a Brandeis University professor is mourning the loss of his daughter and son-in-law, WBZ-TV's Laura Hafley.
My grandson has witnessed the murder of his mother.
50-year-old Deborah Matias and her husband Shlomo were killed by members of Hamas militant groups during Saturday's attacks in Israel.
The terrorists came into their place, broke through the doors, shot them.
Americans are also hostages. CBS's Cammie McCormick.
A State Department spokesman says 9 U.S. citizens are among the dead. He says the U.S. has also confirmed there are unaccounted for Americans, and officials are working with Israel to determine their whereabouts. The focus is now shifting to hostages as well. The administration does expect there may well be Americans among them and will offer support and expertise on how to address the situation.
In Washington, Republicans will meet soon to pick a new House speaker, but CBS's Nicole Killian says Kevin McCarthy's open to reclaiming it now that dynamics have shifted over the violence.
Some Republicans have been calling for McCarthy to be reinstated in light of this crisis. He was asked about that, whether he would be willing to step back into the role. He said it's up to the Republican conference.
Looking ahead to 2024, Robert Kennedy's switching things up.
I'm here to declare myself an independent candidate.
Kennedy's a member of one of the most famous Democratic families in politics, though his bid was considered a long shot. More auto workers are on strike.
4,000 UAW members walked off the job from Mack Trucks plants in Pennsylvania, Maryland, and Florida after voting down a 5-year contract agreement that union negotiators reached with the company. The deal included a 19% pay raise over 5 years, including 10% upon ratification.
That's CBS's Jason Brooks. Your mail's getting pricier.
The U.S. Postal Service wants to boost the cost of postage in January from 66 to 68 cents. It would be the 5th rate increase since 2021 and come on the heels of a July postage hike.
That's CBS's Matt Piper. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Klein Tools are new at Lowe's, pros. Lowe's knows you want top brands and quality products, and Klein Tools delivers. Right now, get the Klein 3-piece ModBox mobile workstation for $319.94 and the Klein 5-piece cushion grip screwdriver set for just $34.97, both exclusively at Lowe's. Shop the largest selection of Klein Tools, the highest quality tool brand, at Lowe's. Because Lowe's knows tools, Lowe's knows pros.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. 120,000 miles of night drives, daily commutes, and who knows how many.
Are we there yet?
Through countless fixes, elbow grease, and a new radiator, you kept your ride alive. With eBay Motors, you have over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to get high-speed internet now. 877-227-0924.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Overcast skies tonight with a low of 33. Northwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tomorrow, high of 51. Mainly cloudy skies expected tomorrow night, 35. Temperatures below average Wednesday and Thursday with highs in the mid-50s. Chance for scattered rain showers Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 52.
We'll be right back.
Playmakers proudly brought to you by our great friends over at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. You got your host, James J. I am joined by Randy Paul.
I have to apologize.
Oh, yeah?
It's been so nice having Seth here covering. Now you have to put up with me.
We appreciate Seth pitch hitting when he can.
Oh, sure do.
And really appreciate having you in studio. We don't get to hang out as much anymore.
No, it's great being back.
We were just talking during our pregame how busy you are with schooling and everything. And I was telling Randy, as much as I think sports are very important, some of the most important things in the world will be a score. No, I'm joking. The important work Randy's actually doing is helping our kids and our youth, teaching them. And we appreciate that. So know that you can't be with us at always, but we love when you are here. I would say around the half-hour break, we're going to get some local stuff. We'll get to that. Looking forward to it, Randy, and looking forward to talking a little local football with you, some high school football with you.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
You know, the first thing I was thinking as I was looking over some of the things for today, I bet James can't wait to talk about last Thursday. First thought that ran through my mind. How about them Bears?
This is the thing. You don't want to go winless. You don't want to be the Lions. You don't want it to. And so,
hey, but if it turns out like it did 2 years later.
Yeah, then it's not so bad. Yeah. Not so bad. That's the problem. I don't see that happening. I have adopted the Detroit Lions as one of those teams that I can't help but pay attention to and watch and enjoy. And I think it goes a little bit back to you and I, Randy. You and I were covering the Lions.
We turned it around.
Yeah, we were the ones. We were covering the Lions right when Campbell got there.
That was summer, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great. It was awesome. It was a lot of fun. And they're a fun team to watch.
Oh,
so
they are.
As far as just touching on that with Chicago, it actually leads into one of my opening topics. I do want to get to a couple of things with you today. I want to talk Brewers. I want to wrap up the Brewers season, certainly. Not that we can't talk Brewers throughout the winter or anything, but look, more than likely going to be talking quite a bit of football and basketball, especially as we are here at WFHR, the home of Milwaukee Bucks now.
Right.
We're going to be playing Bucks games, Randy. I'm so excited about
that. Right?
Oh, my God. It's so exciting.
It seems like they had a signing since I've been in, too.
Yeah. We got to touch on that, too. But the Big Ten released their 2024 future football schedule.
Oh, my goodness.
And I want to look at that. I want to look at the Wisconsin schedule. You got Wisconsin and Oregon and Washington in there now. Mm-hmm. So I want to tell maybe we'll be informing people about that.
Okay.
If we have time. I wanted to get into the 2028 Olympics, only to touch on it because flag football is on the
docket.
Yeah, they had a huge presentation yesterday about some of these smaller sports that they would like to see included in the Olympics going forward with squash and flag football. And I'm curious to see what other people think about that.
That's funny that you say that because I think we mentioned it on the air during the Assumption game about Josh Pultz getting injured. Playing flag football. It's not funny, but Josh was smiling.
Yeah. We will wrap up our day today talking a little bit about Josh Gordon. I want to talk a little bit about him and give some respect to the man that created the G that so many of you love out there.
Right.
But first, and most importantly, your calls. Let's go ahead and see what's on your mind. Hello, you're on the show.
Well, only you would bring up the Olympics 4 years.
You leave it to me. Yeah, that's why I need you guys. You guys keep me in line.
I was going, no more.
Yeah, Randy's giving me the cutoff, like 2028, what are you doing? We're losing them.
Yeah.
We're losing them. How's it going, bud? How you doing?
Oh, not too bad. I mean, a little disappointed that the Brewers aren't in the playoffs anymore, but I just kind of had a sneaky suspicion that it was going to come down to the pitching. I mean, they've been hurt. They've been used so much this year, but especially here toward the end, I know he tried to save them a little bit, but I just think it just got to be too much, and they use them too much, the bullpens and things like that throughout the year, and that's where these analytic things, I can't get a grasp of them. I just really can't.
I wanted to bring something up regarding the Brewers, and you're teeing me up perfectly for it. For those who don't know, of course, Craig Counsell's contract is wrapping up. But I don't know if anybody knows the specifics of it. This, right from SI, though the Brewers' season ended with a loss in wildcard round of the Diamondbacks on Wednesday, their manager's contract does not expire until October 31st. This has been some confusion about this, but what this means, essentially, getting through all the muck, is that they have 3 weeks with Counsell before anybody else else can negotiate with him, i.e. the New York Mets, where I think a lot of people have him coaching next year, managing next year. So Brewers have a little bit of an advantage when it comes to that. But I do think, and I'm throwing this out there, I'm saying this rhetorically, I'm wondering what you two think and what you diehard Brewer fans out there think, because I've already touched with a couple of the ones that I know. If Council goes, then it's a rebuild. If Council stays, it sounds like they're going all in on trying to bring in at least one of those guys back, Burns or Woodruff, more than likely Burns. And going again, like into a whole full season of, all right, we really finally believe in this team. We're going to put some time and money into it. That is what the tea leaves. That is what a lot of people are saying. And a lot of it depends on what happens with Council. What do you guys want to have happen? And what do you think is going to happen? I'll start with you, caller.
I have to disagree with you about bringing Burns back. With that, I really believe, because he just did not look sharp at all this year. I mean, he had a couple, about a month where he looked halfway decent, but his heart is not in Milwaukee anymore with that whole arbitration thing for them basically not giving him that $250,000. I think pretty much so he knows he's not coming back to Milwaukee. So I think my personal opinion is I think they're going to hopefully get Woodruff back without having to do surgery. I haven't heard if they're going to do it or not, but I think Woodruff will be back. Council. I mean, he said that it sounds like if he doesn't coach, he's going to not. You know, he won't coach anywhere. I mean, he'd be in Milwaukee or nowhere. I think he's. I think just by some of his comments he's made throughout the year and at the beginning of the preseason that he wants to see his kids play ball. I mean, he hasn't had a chance to do that. I mean, summertime is the worst time to be a coach. Baseball, because the longevity of baseball coaches and what they have to do is it's different compared to football.
It should be noted too that you're absolutely right. Nothing from Council has said that he'd coach anywhere else. It's all basically the Mouse Network and a lot of other people saying that he would go to New York. And I think they're just doing the simplest math there. David Stern is there, so of course, why would he not want Council? I feel like that's
right.
That's low hanging fruit. I don't think that there's anything that's actually really substantial to that, but it is being talked about.
I think my personal opinion is that I think he wants the GM job. I really do. I really think he wants to be able to call the shots. I heard on another talk show that, you know, the way some of these guys are nowadays with analytics is that a lot of the GMs do make the decisions for the coaches. And, you know, it's kind of, this is what we're going to do, how we're going to do it. Kind of like the whole Moneyball thing that they did, you know, how they what's his face was kind of running, basically telling the manager what to do.
Yeah,
Billy Dean, you know, because you have your analytic coaches and then you have your old school coaches. Well, Buck Showalter is one of the last old school coaches we have out there.
Yeah,
you know, David Robinson's going to be the next one gone. I mean, it just and that's what.
Our guy in Houston too, Dusty Baker. Yes. Although Dusty Baker, a great manager, a Hall of Fame manager, but I don't know how much Dusty Baker is truly involved anymore, and how much he is kind of not a mascot. I mean, that sounds really bad. He's doing his job, of course, but I think that Dusty Baker's long since had hills that he'll die on. It's kind of like, what do you want? All right, you know. Well, I'm good with that. Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah, more agreeing than ever.
You know, he's just more of the face.
Yeah.
A bunch of us were sitting around the other night just talking about this, and I think a lot of us had thought that because his kids are playing ball at this time, that he will take a year off so he can watch them, and then maybe do the New York thing. That would not surprise me if he would move on after this. Also with Woodruff is kind of a. Boy, as soon as I heard that he was not going to pitch in the playoffs, I thought, you know, we had the top three pitchers, and now to win those three games, that's going to make it more difficult. And then Burns loses, and you're just like, oh, here we go. I don't know. You know, is he damaged goods? Is he going to be able to come back from this? One never knows. Did he come back too early? It seemed like he pitched really well, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, all of a sudden he's got this shoulder strain again. So if you don't have Burns, you don't have Woodruff. Boy, that's going to take a big chunk out of your team as well for next year. So a lot of question marks with that team, that's for sure.
When you look at the Woodruff Burns situation, I think that when it comes to just looking at the people, I think you easily won a Woodruff. I mean, the way he was emotional, the way that he was coming out of that situation with him not knowing he was going to be able to play in the postseason and everything. That's the kind of player you want on your team.
And he pitched well down the stretch, just the, the arm issue.
Yeah. I think you might...
Did he even lose a start?
No. Not that I remember. When he came back, yeah. I will say this. If you're looking for silver linings, you're going to get him cheaper. I'm not to be mean. I'm not trying to be cruel about this or anything, but it is a business, and he'll be the first to tell you that. And you're going to get him cheaper if you do keep him. I could see a lot of the team moving on. I could see a lot of that. And I don't know that that's necessarily for the worst either. This happens in the basketball a lot. You're stuck in mediocrity. You're the Atlanta Hawks that we grew up with. You got Dominique, you got Spud, you got these nice pieces and everything, but you ain't ever beaten Larry and Chief and McHale. You're not beating them. And then, oh, well, wait a minute. Well, maybe we'll beat the next one. Nope, Detroit. Nope, the Bad Boys. The Bulls coming. You know, it just feels like you're kind of almost stuck there. And the best thing that you can do sometimes is reset. That means council as much as it means some of your core pieces, the faces of this team, especially when you got some really young talent coming up that is exciting and worth getting behind. I don't know. Do you re-sign Adames? Is that somebody you continue to keep? I think that you look at that shortstop position. They got some nice pieces in the AAA that are looking to come up. Some of those that already showed their face this season. You got some hope on that team. You're not Oakland, Las Vegas, or Sacramento. I don't know where they're going. Albuquerque. I'm not sure. But I don't think it's that bad. I don't think you're Cleveland. I don't think it's that bad, I think, of some things. I think that if you want some real hope right now, if you're Milwaukee, and it's hard to say this right now given where they are in the playoffs, look at Baltimore. Look at what Baltimore's doing. Name me 20 players on the Baltimore roster right now. I'm not sure their manager can, but they can. The fans can. The team can. I mean, you know what I mean? They've got a great squad there. You can do this in baseball. We watched – it's only been recently that Oakland has been bad. For years, Oakland was putting out a play. Every year, I'd be like, wait a minute, is Oakland in the playoffs again? How do they do that? Like, they got nobody, but they do it. They get into the playoffs. It's baseball. I don't think you need the big names. I don't think that does you any good, truly. It hasn't done New York any good. And by that, you can mean the Yankees or Mets. I think you can build.
I think if you put too many egos on a team, you just can't do it.
Yeah.
I mean... You could do it in basketball because there's only five guys on the court at a time. Mm-hmm. I think you could do it there. But when it gets to baseball and football, you start putting those egos together. I have to bring it up. I mean, look at Claypool. He wasn't getting the ball. He whined and cried about it. So what happened? They traded him.
Yeah. And that was from Pittsburgh. He was whining and complaining. And then he goes to Chicago, whines and complains. And now he's in Miami. And we'll see if he's finally happy.
He's going to whine and complain because...
He probably wanted to complain
because of the receivers down there too.
This is a guy who thinks that he should be getting the ball over Tariq Hill. I guarantee you. So that's here or there. But I also won't begrudge him because he was at an organization that doesn't exactly have a great history of treating him. Doesn't have a great history with some players. We lost one of the greatest Mount Rushmore in my family and Dick Butkus over the week, and that's a guy who always had a good standing with the team after his playing career, because of course during his playing career, the way the doctors were and everything, Gale Sayers and him could talk to you about the medical staff in Hallis Hall and everything. So there's plenty of meat on that bone as far as Claypool and that. But you're right, the egos do matter. That Rams team that won, they won in spite of some of those things. With some of those egos on that team, they were able to gel. I think in football, you're almost able to put the ego aside a little bit more because you have to. It's so much more life or death, if you will. Where baseball, it's always been a kid's game. It is. I mean, we treat it with such an adult theme, and we treat it with such heaviness and seriousness and everything. But at the end of the day, I think of kids playing that game. I think of high schoolers. I think of it more of that way. And I think that you've got guys out there that are giving everything they've got, that are working hard. But at the end of the day, there's 162 of these. I, you know, that the human mind can only handle so much.
All right.
Well, no, I don't disagree with you on that. So,
well, we'll see what happens. I will say that at the very least, if you are a fan of Council and want to keep him, you've got to be happy about having that extra 3 weeks here before Halloween. I gotta say as a side note, if I'm signing the contract and I see that it ends on Halloween, that I don't know why, but that's a bit of a red flag to me. Any other day can it end on November 1st? Does it have to end on Halloween? That seems a little weird to me, but it's baseball. That makes sense.
Yes.
Anything else on your mind before we let you go, bud?
I know you're going to talk quick. I'll just make a couple of mentions quick of the football schedule. I think if you look at the football schedule next year for the Badgers,
mm-hmm.
it is tough.
Ooh, yeah.
It is a tough schedule next year because you're bringing in Alabama. You're bringing in, Oregon coming in?
Mm. Oregon, yeah.
Next year?
I'm looking at it here, and the away games are Iowa, Nebraska, Northwestern, Rutgers, USC. The home games, Minnesota, Oregon, Penn State, Purdue.
And then Alabama.
Yes, yes. Just whoa. Whoa. I also think that this is what you want. You're Wisconsin. This isn't Appalachia State being brought over to Alabama. This is a game they want to toughen their schedule. So they invite you to town. That's a compliment. That says you're playing with the big boys now, everybody. I think this is the case for a long time. Wisconsin's had a reputation. But you bring in a coach like Luke Fickell, and the whole nation is paying attention to Madison now. And they're not alone. So now you are with the big boys now. And I think that's a huge compliment. If you're a Badger fan, I couldn't be more excited. I'm jacked for you guys. I'm a bit of a Badger fan, but I don't consider myself like most here in the state. I'm excited. I couldn't imagine how you guys are. It's tough. It's a tough schedule. There's no getting around that. But ain't that what you want? I would think that you wanna play with the big boys. You wanna see how you can rank. Because if you beat an Alabama, all of a sudden we're talking playoffs, especially with the expanded playoffs.
Right, and then you throw USC in there too. I mean, that's going to be another big one. Even though Caleb Williams won't be there next year.
Yeah,
it's going to be a tough schedule. I probably won't be able to get tickets for that Alabama game next year, but I might still be sitting down there at one of the local taverns.
Yeah,
down there just to get the atmosphere.
That would be pretty cool. That would be. Yeah.
I think one of the concerning things is when you look back and you see we got to play Ohio State last year on national TV or Michigan and really got spanked. You just don't want to see that happen either.
Sure.
Yeah. So and I think I don't know. We were pretty excited about the Badgers this year with Mordecai and everything, throwing the ball around. Braylon Allen will be running crazy, and then Ches Malusi goes down. I don't know. They're not what I was hoping they would be. Not saying that they still won't, because that takes some time with a new coach.
Yeah, we got to be patient.
We got to be patient with it. But I think everybody, at least myself, we're expecting instant success. And if it doesn't change and we don't get that success, there's that concern that you lose to Alabama by 35, to USC by 30, to Oregon by 40, and then pretty soon it's like, ouch.
I think this has gotten a little muddied with the Deion Colorado situation. And mark on your calendar that we've talked about Deion. That we have to. Every show has
Coach
to at least
Prime.
Mention Deion. Yes, Coach Prime. Yes. First off, I love what's going on over there. I love what's going on over there. It's also a mirage. They're playing in a conference that you can get away with this a little bit more and look better when you're playing teams like a TCU that's depleted and that kind of thing. You play all of a sudden a team like Arizona, that it shouldn't be competing with you at everything, and you have a game like you did Saturday with them where they pull off by the skin of their teeth. They're very thin, and losing a kid like Hunter shows you that. So it's a little, I think, misleading that you can pull certain things off right out the gate when it comes to a game that is, especially a coach's offense like Luke Fickell's. Look at what's going on in Miami. Miami, they're pulling in big names, big recruiting classes, and they got the coach they wanted. They got everything they wanted all lined up, and there's some confusion still in that organization, in that franchise, and you can tell.
They forgot to take a knee.
I'll say this. Cristobal's been doing this his whole career. He's always been this guy. He's never been a taking a knee guy. But I didn't know he was the kind of guy. He said that he should have just stepped in, as in the offensive coordinator was calling the game at that point. And I found that very interesting because I thought he was a hands-on kind of guy. I also thought that was a little, a little throwing him under the bus, a little, even if he was being factual. I almost think that you don't give the facts at that point. You take it, you're the head coach, you're paid the millions of dollars for a reason, you got to take the hit there. But I found that very interesting. But that's just an example of you know, the building that's got to go on. Next year, that probably won't happen, in theory. I think you have a similar thing with Wisconsin right now, where I keep on expecting Mordecai to have these 250 passing games, yeah, and everything. I got to be patient. Yeah. I got to be patient. This is going to – now, next year, the year after, you might see that. Mordecai is a freshman, I believe, isn't he? Or a sophomore?
I think this is it.
Oh, no. You're right. I'm thinking of the kid behind him. They got a freshman on that squad. That's the kid you got to be looking at
two years from now. He stands back there, you know, and he looks around, which makes you think, because on TV you can't see the entire field. Mm-hmm. You just wonder if those guys just aren't getting open.
Well, he doesn't
want to throw picks.
I'm not trying to be mean here by this, because I don't like – we're talking about kids.
Right, absolutely.
Most of them aren't even being paid to play this game. I don't think that some of these guys have the skill set to match his offense yet. Now, I think that a good coaching staff plays to the players. You do what Andy Reid does. What do you want to play? What do you do? What are you good at? I'm going to do what you're good at and excel at that. I don't know if Coach Fickell's doing that. I don't know if it sure doesn't look like it with Braylon Allen. But that's,
well,
you know.
You just teed me up there, though, a little bit on that, James. And I'm going to ask you guys this question, and I'll hang up, and I'll listen out after I hang up.
Thanks for hanging out with us, bud.
So, I went there a few weeks ago, and they played Georgia Southern. I left the game after they scored that last touchdown in the fourth quarter. I left there upset. Hmm. After a win, I was upset because of how they're using this offense. You have two guys that are, you know, you had Malusi and Braylon Edwards, and you're doing this read option.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You need to be able to hand the ball off to Braylon Allen from under the center. I mean, if you guys disagree with me, I'll listen to it afterwards. Hand it off to him and let him go. You can't do this read option with Braylon and Allen, because, as you see, his numbers are down this year because they're doing this. I believe that he's got to be with the offense that you're under center, where I think that's why he'll be a good pro. So the question I have for you guys, does he come back next year as Eagle Pro? And I'll let you guys go. You guys have a great week.
You too. Thanks for the call, bud. Thanks for hanging out with us. Randy, what do you think?
Okay. Probably might depend upon what happens a little bit further into this year. And, you know, I don't know. I was surprised that Jonathan Taylor resigned.
Me too.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, I was just looking at the games from yesterday and looking at some of the stats for the running backs, and there's very few running backs that break 100 yards anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so you look at the passing, and it's like every game, I'm writing down numbers, and every quarterback's throwing over 30 times. I think one of them had, 40, 50 passes yesterday. I'm trying to remember who it was, but maybe it was with the Bills. But, you know, so because the running back, is he going to be, you know, drafted high?
And I think with NIL and some of that, I think you might see him, and especially if he's not having the year he could be having, he could come back just to try to improve his stock for next year, and because of the new coaching staff. But if I got a bet on it, I would probably lean towards him going into the NFL draft. Let's take a phone call. Good morning, or good afternoon. I knew I was going to do that. Good afternoon. You're on the show.
Yes. I just want to talk a little bit on Brewers baseball. I know you were already talking that, but...
Yeah. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Matt Arnold, he was David Stern's right-hand man for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he was more than that. I think he was his right-hand man and his left-hand man. He's probably the best replacement of David Stern's ever. I don't think Craig Counsell's going to be near that